Hello, you're listening to Talking Practice Efficiency, a mini podcast series. I'm Kat Bond and I head up Partner Consulting and Success here at Xero. How do you know if your business is high performing? For Dave Gibson and Josh Sangara of Blue Sky in North Shields, their mantra is measure what you treasure. That simply means don't get lost in too many stats, but focus on what's important to you. Dave is the company's co-founder and CEO, and Josh is their client relationship director. And they spoke to me at our recent Edinburgh Roadshow about how Xero has helped them transform their practice. Hello, welcome. Thank you. I would introduce you both. However, I think you'll both do a much better job of introducing yourselves. So I'm going to start off by asking you both to introduce yourselves to the audience. Dave, do you want to go first?
Hi, everyone. I'm Dave Gibson. I'm co-founder and chairman of Blue Sky.
I'm Josh. I'm a client relationship director at Blue Sky. Been there a while at Blue Sky, not as long as the chairman and co-founder.
Dave, I think we met nearly 10 years ago now.
Around that.
And at that point in time, you were one of the partners at, well, were you not the sole partner of Blue Sky?
No, I was one of the partners. We were a much smaller team back then.
And so what we wanted to show you today was the differing over time and the scale that you see from a practice, because Dave, you started off a digital journey, is that fair to say?
Yeah.
And Josh, you're continuing that.
He's passing the baton on to me in a way, yes, absolutely.
So it probably makes sense for me to ask you first off, what do you actually deem as a high-performing practice? What does that mean to each of you?
For me, it's something to aspire to. I wouldn't be big-headed enough to say that we're there yet. I think as a practice, you need a purpose. As you do in life, then you do in business. Follow that up with a strategy that helps you deliver that purpose. That needs to be understood by and delivered by a high-performing team. What do we mean by a high-performing team? Well, it's a set of individuals who are totally on board with that purpose, and who want to grow, who want to get better, and are then backed up with the processes and tools to kind of help them deliver. It's about having that growth mindset. It's about embracing and driving change. Change is going to be the kind of one constant in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I think to kind of carry on from that is, in what we do, it's such a people-led business, and the people within that will make it high-performing. You know, just as Dave says, as chairman, you know, there's a strategy in place, but the people challenging it and trying to find those 1% all the time, that's what makes it high performing to just middle of the road.
So that concept of like continual improvement, Kaizen,
continual
all those types of things. Mm-hmm. So has everyone seen the copies of our industry report that's some out in the lounge? As we were going through and doing the research for that, as we spoke to people about high performing practices, what we found was that high performance is very, very different dependent on who you speak to. So some people are looking for cash flow. Some people are saying, well, actually, like, if my cash flow is really positive, that means I'm high performing. Some people are saying, if we've got a really efficient workflow, that means that we're really high performing because we can be efficient, we can be effective, we can do more for our clients. Some people see it as staff happiness. What is it to you guys? Is it one of those things, all of those things, none of those things?
From our point of view, it's a combination of all the above. Kind of digitization as well, one of the key parts of it is that it allows us to actually put more scope on those areas as well. As Michael talked about earlier, the time savings, even kind of in terms of growth, what probably got missed is, you know, the best and cheapest and most cost-effective way to actually grow is do a brilliant job for your existing clients. You know, that's the easiest way to gain a lead, that's the easiest way to gain a referral, that's the easiest way to gain, you know, and grow the firm. How does that happen? Well, you know, we can go through and talk about App Stack in a minute, but kind of the tools we use, being quicker, more efficient with it, leads to a happier client. And then from that as well, it's actually kind of helps empower our team to have a wider portfolio as well to work on.
We talked before about measure what you treasure.
Yep.
And you can have too many measurements, you can have too few measurements. So if we go from tactical, we take our own medicine, we produce our onboard pack every month, courtesy of Fathom. If they're here and there are 15 KPIs on there in a kind of wagon wheel type format. But then from a strategic point of view, we look down three pillars, one for client, one for growth, and one for the team. And we have a key measurement for each of those things. We have a target set for the year, and the strategy and the tasks and activities that we do over the year towards the strategy are there to kind of help us build and grow towards those targets.
And can I ask, How has that evolved as you've scaled?
We almost reinvent it every year, to be honest. We're coming towards the end of 2023, and we know strategically we'll probably stick with those three pillars, but the measurements will change. And if I take an example of growth, we had, so we all know, we're all accountants, it's the bottom line that counts, not the top line. But we were really, really kind of focused on growing MRR this year. And maybe we took the eye off the ball ourselves, off the bottom line there a little bit. So MRR doesn't go away. We need to focus better internally on growing net profit, EBITDA, whatever measurement we decide is going to be the one there. But the overall, what is the key number, is probably going to be LTV, lifetime value. The clients, we can do that at a practice level, we can do that at a departmental level. We can't currently do it at a client level because we don't do timesheets. So if anybody's got an answer to that conundrum, please come and see me afterwards.
It's interesting hearing you talk about the metrics. I love the phrase you use, measure what you treasure. But when you talk about the metrics, it sounds so much more like SaaS metrics these days than maybe when we first met up 10 years ago.
Oh, very much so. And it's so much easier to actually measure stuff now. It's like if you've got the right tools there, then you know the reporting and the data analytics is so much easier these days to get there.
And I guess following on from that is, as Dave will say, partway through the journey, partway through, we always change it because some of the data we had when we make decisions, we didn't have back then.
Yeah.
I think one of the key things for us this year is trying to measure client fulfillment. It's a key part, and the numbers speak for themselves. The more you can get feedback from your clients and find out how happy they are, it goes hand in hand in towards actual growth and the MR and the bottom line as well.
And I always recall what you used to say about staff fulfillment and the marbles. Do you remember? I'm looking at Paula for this, but the marbles that you used to have. You talk about the data there, and that takes us really nicely onto products and data.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about your product stack? What is the stack that you use, and how does that contribute to... the way you perform and the data that you have?
Yeah. You know, initially, probably a few years back, probably not as wide as it is now. It's probably the biggest it's ever been. From accounts production side, we're big fans of ZeroTax.
Always good to hear.
For payroll, so a bit about us, our clients are exclusively on Xero. And from what Dave will tell you more is it's just easier. No client has ever said no to it, really. That was for us. So then as soon as they say yes to Xero, all the kind of efficiencies we can drive just stem from there. A payroll, Xero payroll, and then all the expenses and invoice tracking through Dext. And it's got to the point where we're kind of big on data. We've been around now about 10, 15 years, so there's a lot of data for us to get into, and tools like Dext and Dext Position even further help us guide that.
Yeah.
And as Dave said, we've got Fathom from a short operational cash flow point of view, use cash flow fog. And it goes on and on to Telleroo, Mayday, Chaser as well. So there's a lot we use.
How do you get to that point where you have this stack where you know all the things you're going to use? Did you start off with this vision that Xero is going to be the product for us? Or?
It was a journey. We probably first came across Xero even before you joined, I don't know, 2010, 2011. And we were a typical practice back then. We had a lot of desk-based systems based in the Northeast. Of course, we're good friends of Sage. So Line 50 was a key player there. We'd dabbled with QuickBooks at the time, but desk-based systems weren't helping us deliver the kind of products that we wanted to deliver, the kind of value we wanted to deliver to clients. We wanted kind of forward-looking services. We wanted to be up to date, and you know, sitting around waiting for somebody to bring the shoebox in and then typing stuff in, doing all that is just not conducive to that. So we knew cloud technology would be a help if we could see the benefits in that at the time. But of course, back then you had a much smaller footprint than now. There's cash flow about, free agent was being bandied about and given away free by banks. We worked with Sage on their Sage One product. So the first time that was ever run in beta outside the Sage HQ was at our offices. You know, long may it rest in peace, poor little thing. So, you know, Xero was just kind of one of the mix there, but we knew what we wanted to do was to become an expert in a single product, a single core product, and move it around rather than just being jack of all trades and having to really having the clients dictating to us what product to use and you know, getting the poor team to be experts in half a dozen different products. So you're going to ask me now, why Xero?
Why Xero?
right, so a few reasons. First of all, at that stage, it had that kind of nice blend of usability from a non-accountant, but functionality. You know, it was quite a mature product even back then. Did a little bit of research, and credibility was established because BT were actually using you at the time for some of the smaller departments. We're working with a lot of tech startups, and they absolutely loved the concept of the open API. If you go out, they could see the potential there better than we could. So they were kind of herding us down that direction. And then finally, the support and relationships that you had in mind, certainly back then and still now. So the competition either, you know, gave you a telephone line that just ignored you, or gave you an account manager whose sole responsibility seemed to be just to raise more revenue out of you. And you guys were building a community. You wanted the relationship. You wanted to hear what our opinions were and actually drive the evolution of the product through our wants and needs as well. So put all that together, there we went.
Wonderful. And of course, you had a fantastic account manager.
Of course, yeah.
Well, you know.
I remember who that was, Carl.
No, me neither. And so, Josh, I think we spoke not too long ago about how you actually look at how your stack evolves and how you continue to grow and offer the best services. And you spoke about building vision, and is it the two-year-out process that we spoke of? Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so in terms of a two-year-out process, it's kind of trying to see, you know, we're not trying to be the trailblazers as such, but we're trying to be pioneers in terms of what we're trying to do. So having that long-term vision does help us. We kind of know what we're doing now, where we're trying to go, and as Dave's touched on earlier, where we're trying to get to in the future. There's a lot of stuff happening, even in the sessions later today where it talks about AI, but that's kind of a big part of what we're trying to get to in the future. And there's a lot that's going to come out. You know, you'll see other things like Power BI, Copilot, that's all going to come up, and it's going to shake probably what we do a lot better for the better as well. And I think it's all about kind of taking the skills we've got now and kind of redevelop them into a certain way where we can actually use those tools. I'll give you an example. At Blue Sky, currently we are doing a data science project. So we're going to take all the data we've got, build a model, and see what the benefits are from it. Now, we've just started this journey, so we don't know what's going to come out. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the benefit from that will kind of guide our strategy for the next few years in terms of how we develop and how we're monitoring what we're doing.
And how do your clients benefit from this way of working?
I think ultimately our clients will gain solutions that even make it easier for them. Mm-hmm. Take something, for instance, like Telaroo. We're not doing the pay runs as such for them. The clients are paying themselves. That in itself is almost like improvement in the relationship that, you know, time with them, a meal with them, seeing them all the time can't buy. Because ultimately they just want to grow their business. And it's pretty succinct. Businesses you work for grow, you know, your practice is most likely to grow as a result of that. Mm-hmm. Our tagline at the minute is basically work with ambitious businesses trying to scale up and us trying to be that companion. The better and kind of we can be more seen as a partner rather than just as a guy doing certain process bits. That's the kind of win-win for us. And clients really appreciate almost like a second pair of eyes over everything they're doing financially and from a strategic point as well.
Does it allow you to do more for clients? Is there certain things that you have your eye on that you think, oh, actually, that's what we're going to do next, which will enable us to do more?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, things like even getting the basic fundamentals right, even doing your payroll to the point or submitting the VAT on time, all that things mean that's not what business owners set up a business to do, to get all the filings on time. What they really want to do is kind of look forward. And that's a big mind shift we try and always keep our head on. Sometimes it's hard to kind of look backwards all the time and chase filing deadlines. But for us, the key value, and that's a big part for us trying to create the value, is look forward with the business. Where are they trying to get to in 2 years, 3 years? How are we trying to fit there? And if we can fit a role for us ourselves in there, most of the time we're going to be there.
Nice.
And that's the key sell and takeaway for us.
So if we were going to go back, Dave, to that original stack that you built, is there anything that you would not do again?
Ooh, what a good question.
I'm sure there's one or two.
Very probably, yeah.
That you wouldn't do again.
I don't think there's much that we've picked up and run with and dumped. I think we've taken products on wrong. Chaser is the example that came to mind. So Chaser, you know, great tool, great to help people generate the right invoices, have the right kind of debt control process and that. But we tried to, when we went out to market it, we brought it in, we tried it, we thought, yeah, this is brilliant, this would be really helpful. But then when we marketed it as an app. And then everybody says, well, I can just subscribe myself cheaper and we don't need you. Mm. That, instead of, you know, integrated it into a service that allowed us to help them actually build a process, because you need the business process to start with before you kind of implement it within the tech. And so that approach failed for us in that way. I don't think there are many products that we've picked up and wouldn't pick up again at the time. Yeah. We have centre currently as a CRM, but support has been taken away from that. So probably one big task we've got next year is to find a replacement for centre. And
you mentioned about zero tax. How's that evolved, what you do for your partners and how you work in the practice?
I think for us, every client base is different, but for us, we work with a lot of tech and a lot of startup companies.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can be the first filing they do. And sometimes in the infancy of these tech startup, even service sector clients as well, is there's not too much going on at the early stage, and they need a process that's simple, easy enough, intuitive for them to follow.
Yeah.
And something that can kind of integrate seamlessly with the data. How many, you know, production softwares out there or tax service softwares where you import something, you're making adjustments and you're trying to tie it back all the time.
Mm.
On a lengthy accounts job can be an extra 20-30% of your time wasted. The benefit of just pulling all the data almost live straight away with no backdating is the real time saver for us. My personal experience is this. I've worked at big four accountancy firms, I've worked at one-man bands, I've worked at top 10 accountancy firms, I'm working at Blue Sky. In my opinion, the easiest actual accounts production software to use for 105, 100% and 102 1As is Zero Tax in terms of time and efficiencies. Because it does get to that time of the year and you guys are almost there at it where the filing deadlines are creeping up on us.
Yeah.
So you might have the odd late accounts you've got to put together. And I've personally had to do it hands-on tools from start to finish. And that's my personal experience of it. And it's kind of almost a journey as well. The more I can do in Zero Tax as the update and the roadmap develops, it, you know, makes it far more easier for us as a practice to do so.
Unfortunately, we've reached our time. And so if anyone does have questions for Josh and Dave, I'm sure they'll be around later on. But in the meantime, can I ask that you give them all a hand? And thank you very much. I really appreciate the conversation.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Talking Practice Efficiency. Listen next time as we hear how Dave Forrester from Tax Assist manages consistent but stable growth. See you then.